May only the truth be spoken, and may only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a funny thing. When I was training to be ordained, we learned a couple of sayings, which I had forgotten about until this morning. One was, when things go slightly wrong, just walk slowly until it gets fixed. Now, it seems to me that that is an absolutely wonderful saying, not just in church circles, but anytime, because it gives us an opportunity to draw a breath and calm ourselves. Now, my father had sayings. He used to say, never swim alone. Always tie yourself onto the roof. He said that when he was going to be painting the roof, this tightly sloped tin roof. Always walk facing the traffic. Always have water at a campfire, and never ever leave a campfire alone. These were sayings that I heard over and over, and I'm sure that you can well think of similar sayings from your lives. They expressed the urgency of life and death realities. Well, today, together, we continue our exploration of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Luke speaks to his communities in different ways from the other Gospel writers. He uses different kinds of imagery, a different understanding of the word peace, and few Jewish phrases, all because they wouldn't be understood fully by his Gentile readers. But Luke's writing does express the same urgency that's evident in Mark and Paul's writings. In our gospel reading, we are presented with some of what scholars call the sayings of Jesus. To call them sayings is to make them very bland, and they were not. These are explosive. And so when I read it first, I thought, what in the world would have provoked this kind of tirade? I wonder whether some people had been trying to soften the demands of the gospel. Or perhaps there had been some talk about how the teachings of Jesus should be made a wee bit easier to accept or to share. Or maybe Jesus was counteracting what he understood to be a false impression of who he was and what his ministry was about. Or maybe Jesus just wanted to acknowledge how difficult his teachings were. Jesus offered hope, especially to those people who suffered the most. His new way of living offered hope based on loving action, sharing, humility, kindness. Nobody left out. Luke describes this new way of living as being in the realm of God. Living in the realm of God means for us to be transformed, to have our priorities changed, to have our lives changed. But this new realm, it didn't fit in with the kingdoms of our world any more 2,000 years ago than it does now. Jesus intended to change the way the world typically operates. And change, as we all know, is often painful. So we hear these sayings of Jesus in the context of alerting people to the realities of his life and his mission. Luke shocks us with these words, and he shocks us to awaken us to the realities of Jesus' call to us. Luke has Jesus calling people hypocrites. To be a hypocrite in any language is appalling. So why would Jesus do that? I've been struggling with that question all week. I wake up thinking about it. I go to sleep struggling. Why would Jesus do this? And finally, something somebody else said brought a response to my question, brought a response into focus. Walter Brueggemann wrote, "If we are to understand prophetic criticism, we must see that its characteristic idiom is anguish and not anger." So if we see the hypocrite's comment as Jesus in his role as prophet, remember Jesus came to be prophet, priest, and king. So if we see Jesus in his role as prophet speaking in anguish rather than speaking in anger, this can be seen as a loving challenge. And this different kind of understanding draws us away from anger and toward examining our own attitudes and actions. Since we can learn to read the signs of the weather, look outside, the weather is changing, we can surely learn to read the signs God gives us about the directions our lives should take. Changes that would benefit the world and therefore ourselves. We want to understand the signs of the weather, but do we equally want to understand the signs of God in our lives? As the kingdom of God appears on the horizon of a person's spiritual awareness, we often do not understand, or we choose not to understand, what that kingdom means. We may even think that it means more of the same, maybe with more people, but more of the same. But the kingdom of God is more and different. God's realm turns our lives over. And that's why so many churches are constructed to look like a boat turned upside down. And if you look up, we're swimming, the boat is over our head, and it's all around, and it's meant to remind us of the kingdom of Jesus, the realm of Jesus, the world turned upside down. Those who are rejected will become respected. Those relegated to the margins will be drawn in. And those who are poor in any way in the realm of Jesus, they will have enough. Luke continues with Jesus' image of fire as a symbol of purification and separation and judgment. Jesus proclaims that the fire of judgment will purify those who thirst for the kingdom of God. Jesus' word and his Holy Spirit will be that purifying fire. And then, next, Jesus goes on and wishes that he could be called to exercise judgment immediately, rather than having to wait, rather than enduring the pain of waiting for his own death and resurrection. The prospect of his suffering causes Jesus great stress and sorrow, and he refers to it as his own baptism. And then Jesus speaks of peace. Other writers speak of peace as a state of quiet, a freedom from wars, even freedom from upsetting thoughts or feelings. But in this gospel, according to Luke, Jesus refers to peace differently. in this gospel, peace means even more than the absence of warfare. Peace, in Luke's writing, means right relationships with God. Peace with God. Jesus draws people into right relationships with each other, and especially with God. Such a level of change, as Luke describes, will surely bring confusion and even deep divisions. As a Christian community, we will have differences of opinion, even divisions in understanding. And it's important for us to remember that we are called to deal with those differences in certain ways. We are called to express our differences and divisions in ways that build up our communities, lovingly, with kindness, generosity, and integrity. This kind of living is not easy. Last week in the gospel account of the teachings of Jesus, we were clearly told to seek the common good in all of our words and all of our actions. This week, that teaching is continued, and we are enjoined again to work for those things that are best for the whole community and for our broader communities. The good news is that Jesus has come to us to offer the world something new, new priorities, new insights, new life. In our offertory hymn, we'll sing later, higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Jesus was eager to see the arrival of the kingdom itself. He knew better than anyone else how badly this world needs the fire of renewal that God's kingdom represents. And Jesus calls us to be part of this work of building the realm of love for everyone to share. No winners, no losers. The love of God which never gives up, never fails, and never runs out on anybody. That's what we hope for. That's what we pray for. That's what we live for, the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.